And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Opening week is finally upon us, and it's another edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice. Jake Hahn and Pete Jensen with you today. How you doing, Pete? Are you as fired up as I am?
I'm stoked, man. I'm a little down about the Buffalo Sabres, of course, after their 0-2 start, but Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Top 10 waiver wire pickups on the docket. Mock draft 2.0 reaction with a great guest. Looking forward to it.
Week one, and Nick Alberga is somewhere, I don't know, Mexico, Barcelona. This guy decides on a yearly basis to take the most important time of the NHL calendar and go on vacation. And that's where he is this week, Jake.
Talk about a diva. First week, he's already MIA and we're looking for him. So we'll see if we get Alberga back. Hopefully we do. And we're looking forward to getting him back in the fold when we do. Pete, you mentioned the Buffalo Sabres off the top. They actually set a record this weekend. They are the first team to be officially eliminated from playoff contention before we've played a game in North America. So the Sabres setting records already. It's unbelievable.
It's not that the losses bother me. It's just a continuation of the past, what, 3 or 4 years where it's a combination of injuries, underachieving starts. In the past, it's been home games. This time it was overseas. I mean, I don't know what the deal is with these guys. I think Lindy Ruff has a lot of wiggle room to work through some of these issues. Again, it's only a couple games into the season. It's not the first quarter of the season, but don't let this turn into the first quarter of the season. I'm worried that JJ Paterka is injured with the upper body concussion, whatever you want to call it. Zach Benson missed the second game Saturday because of injury. That's what concerns me here.
You mentioned Paterka. It didn't look great. He gets helped off the ice, and he's was such an important fantasy piece. We talked about him a lot on the preview shows. I really liked him going into the season. So if he misses time, I hope it's nothing extensive, because I was really excited about the potential of JJ Paterka this year, Pete. And it just kind of looked like same old Sabres. I don't want to overreact to two games, and New Jersey might just be really, really good. We could find that out within the next couple of months or so, but it just kind of looked like same old Sabres. But like you said, probably smart to just stay patient. Don't overreact to two games against one team.
Right. We won't dwell on the Sabres too much. The Devils have a really good goalie tandem. If you haven't handcuffed Jake Allen, or even invest in him as a third or fourth standalone goalie, I think he could be really valuable as a 1-2 punch with Jacob Markstrom this season. If the aging Markstrom deals with injury at any point, could be a huge guy just waiting in the wings for New Jersey. Also, the third liners on the Devils, right? Cotter, they picked up from Vegas in that trade, and Haula and Stefan Nason, who was a really good player with the Carolina Hurricanes on their first power play unit last year. All those guys popped off in the first two games of the season.
Yeah, I thought the top line for New Jersey looks like it could be lethal this year, Pete, you know, stacking it up with Brat, Meyer, and Jack Hughes. But like you said, most of the scoring did come from the depth guys. I think as we go on, we're probably going to see some big nights from those top guys as well. Pete, as you know, it's never too early to start looking at the waiver wire and making some pickups and trying to get ahead of the game a little bit. Is there any players that jump out to you here early on before we've dropped the puck in North America that maybe look like they have a good assignment, can give us some early season value?
Well, I mean, definitely keep an eye on the goalie situations around the league, right? If we talked a couple of days ago or when we did, Jeremy Swayman was unsigned. Now they got the deal done. Mm-hmm. Now the most dropped player in fantasy is Korpisalo. So people are looking for other pickups out there. I like Silovs from Vancouver a lot. Varlamov, take a look at him with the Sorokin injury concern. Sounds like Sorokin could be good for the opener, but you never want to go into a new season with these type of injury concerns. And another guy I was looking out there, Cam Talbot. Remember what he did last year, Jake, right? For LA on a bargain contract. He's going to try to do the same thing and try to help Detroit take the next step as part of their three goalie rotation. So those are some guys that I would look at right now.
You mentioned Korpisalo there, Pete. I don't want to bludgeon people over the head with the Jeremy Swayman conversation, because I think us and basically every other hockey show has probably done that over the last month or so. But you mentioned people dropping Korpisalo. I don't know your take on this, but I would not be doing that. I think Korpisalo still has a very strong role on Boston this year. I felt that way before the Swayman situation happened. So if you drafted Korpisalo late round flyer, I'd still roster him unless you're in a really shallow league. I think Korpisalo is going to get his fair share fair share of starts in Boston this year. And obviously Swayman's maybe going to take some time to get acclimated to that lineup. So I would not be dropping the Corpedo this early.
No, I mean, and it's the latest of many mentions that you've had of this guy over the course of the offseason. And I think the Bruins, like even trading away Ullmark, they could have the best goalie tandem in the league once again this season. So that's something that I'm looking for. And you always look at the tradition, of course, the past track record and pedigree of an organization. They're always limiting scoring chances, and they're always doing their goalies a favor, and they got stronger on defense, adding Zadorov in the offseason. So, yeah, those are guys that I'm, always looking at. The Islanders tandem, the Bruins tandem, they're always in the top five or top 10 in team save percentage.
Yeah, like I said, off the top two, it's never too early to start to look at some line combos, see some power play projections. Obviously, these things don't stick all season. I mean, they could change within the first game, but I do think it's good to take flyers on guys just in case they hit the ground running and all of a sudden you find that gem early in the season. Ivan Barbashev's a name I kind of got my eye on here early on, looking for guys outside of the top players in Vegas to kind of step up and provide some offense for a team. I think we'll lean more on their blue line and goaltending this year, but he's a name I've certainly got my eye on here, Pete.
No, definitely. And look at what Vegas lost this offseason. Chandler Stephenson off to Seattle, Marchessault off to Nashville. William Karlsson has not played in the preseason, so that center and flexible option in their top nine has not been available so far, and we're not sure when he's coming back. So they have Hurdle, they have Eichel, but then all the other guys in the top six are intriguing. Victor Olofsson was a bona fide goal scorer with Buffalo through the years, regardless of where he was playing in the lineup. He's up top right now with Jack Eichel and Barbashev. And then Pavel Dorofeev had like a 4-point game with a hat trick the other day in the preseason. He's on the second line with Mark Stone and Hurdle. So a lot to like. And even if they plug in Alexander Holtz at some point, diamond in the rough that could pay big dividends, I like Vegas's chances of producing a lot of offense around Eichel and Hurdle this year.
Well, we're going to give out a few betting spots at the end of the show. Pete, I don't know if this one's going to make your list, but Vegas and Colorado to start the season on Wednesday, that's going to be a banger, as we say, in Vegas. So that'll be a lot of fun. I don't know if what side we're going to lean to on that one, but we can get into some plays. And we're also going to get into your mock draft 2.0 as well, which I find fascinating. So last minute draft time, Pete, these next couple of days, this is it. We're right on the brink of dropping the puck, finally.
Yeah, it's such a fun time of year, and we're going to get into the props and everything like that for sure. A couple other guys. I know Liebhoff mentioned Siplikov from the Islanders. He's playing in the top six. He's been productive in the preseason. Maybe a sniff on him in a deep league for a fantasy pickup right now. Shane Pinto was a big standout late in the preseason for Ottawa. It's a guy that we've liked in years past. Obviously, went down the wrong road last season, but of course, I think has renewed upside for a young Ottawa team, especially if Tkachuk and Stützle are healthy, which it sounds like those injury situations are just day-to-day, thankfully.
Love that spot for Pinto in the Sens lineup, Pete. I think, not getting off to the slow start that he did last year, I think he could be due for a big season in Ottawa. I also don't mind that Bruins middle six. It always feels like there's a couple guys that could step up in that lineup if you're looking for some value. Speaking of value, drafts, last minute preparations, we're going to bring in Davey Satriano here to break it down. Pete, you did a mock draft 2.0 with him a few weeks ago. Davey, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great. First, Jake, welcome. I mean, I'll welcome you because it's been a while since I've been on here. So glad to have you along as the host. And it's my favorite time of year. Everyone on this podcast knows I never sleep as it is. But when hockey season's around, we got mock drafts and the season, everything. Best time of year.
Davey, let's get right to it. Brass tacks. We got the Boston Bruins, black and yellow, getting this deal done with Jeremy Swayman. He went 35 in the mock draft before this drama. We had him around top 25 overall. Where are you as the goalie master targeting Jeremy Swayman now that he's signed, sealed, and about to deliver, I think?
Well, firstly, I mean, there's probably a 90% chance, right, he's not going to play in their opener, maybe the first couple games, even though he's been practicing and working out. But to me, the fact is he's still... I wouldn't draft him, obviously, in the third, fourth, fifth round. But to me, he's definitely like a second, low second, or obviously high third goalie for anyone who needs it in the later rounds, especially because we've seen how the Bruins are the last 5-6 years. No one's a clear-cut starter. They always do 1A and 1B. I know Swayman's got, you know, 66 million reasons for them to start him every game, but Korpisalo was good, obviously, before he went to the Senators last year and had a down year, but I think he's going to be fine in Boston. And if he gets hurt or anything happens to Swayman, they got a great option there. So to me, he's definitely one of the better backups in the league.
Swayman was the number one preseason storyline, obviously, guys. I'd say number two was the injuries around the league, whether they're, you know, they're long-term injuries like Laine and Drew Doughty. Obviously, we have a timeline there, or these short-term injuries. Davey, how much does that scare you off players early in the draft, like a Panarin or a Tkachuk, some of these guys that pick up bumps and bruises? Do you find there could tend to be a little bit of value with these guys, or do you get scared off enough where you want to draft a guy you know is fully healthy?
Well, in our mock draft that we did here, I did take Panarin in the second round on one team, and I think I also took Robertson in the second round on one team, which those guys, something like that, it's not really scaring me. They're going to be, you know, 90, 100-point scorers, but there were other guys like Drew Doughty. He was taken super late in my league. You know, one of my leagues, he wasn't taken at all, and then someone just drafted, put him on the IR slot, which to me, I found kind of, you know, I figured someone would have drafted him, but I went the other way. I took Brant Clark, I guess, whoever the defenseman is, that's going to be, you know, probably get more minutes. But I do look a lot into injuries. To me, it's not so much as how long are they going to be out or whatnot. I mainly focus on like their replacements, because I figure, hey, you can use this guy in the meantime, ride him while he's hot for, you know, a few weeks or a month. And then when those injured guys come back, then you can kind of, you know, figure it out.
Davey, I know you're a big Devils guy, and Timo Meier exploded with 10 shots on goal in his first two games in the Global Series. The thing I like to see with him as a bounce back candidate is he's playing a lot more often, at least early and in the preseason, on a line with Jack Hughes under Sheldon Keefe. Is that a guy that you're reaching for in the middle rounds? Not only with the Devils, little bit of Devils bias, but he's been a 40 goal scorer in the past, right?
You mentioned it perfectly with Keefe. He's not afraid to mix up the lines and do what he has to do there to try to see what's going to stick best. Obviously, last year, the last time I was on this podcast, we talked about Timo Meier, and I said, it's Timo time has ended. I think I pointed to my fake watch and said, look, Timo time has ended. And what happened? He scored that night when I was there at the Rock, and I think he was on a tear at the end of the season. He's definitely due for a bounce back season. I do think whether he plays on the first line or the second line, numbers are definitely going to be improved. But I'll give you another Devil who could be very sneaky off the wire. Paul Cotter, he already has 2 goals. I mean, the Devils are trying to find a place for him. And Keith said he liked what he saw out of him. Like, I can kind of play anywhere. So he's obviously doesn't have the name of a Meier, but he's definitely a guy that, like, if you're looking for someone late or just, you know, last round pick, I think Paul Cotter could be a surprise this season.
Well, this one's less of a surprise in New Jersey, but I would say Dougie Hamilton has quite a bit of value as well, just based on where he's getting drafted. And that's what I was going to ask you, Davey. I think one of my biggest takeaways from doing fantasy drafts was the drop-off, the significant drop-off in defensemen from the top guys into that next tier, where you're just looking at what's available and you're thinking there's nobody here that's even sniffing a power play chance. So do you think it's important to grab one of the stud D early? Is that a strategy you employ? Because to me, that was one of my biggest takeaways from doing drafts this year.
Yeah, you know, I've done 3 actual drafts, and then we had this mock draft where we each had 3 teams to do, and you kind of hit the nail on the head there. Like, one of the teams I got right away, I got Makar in the first or second round, but then it was kind of, you know, when you have 12 teams in a league, it's kind of like slim pickings after that. Like you said, I mean, this after Makar, I didn't get a defenseman until the 6th round, and it was McAvoy, and like, not terrible, but you kind of would like something else, you know, there. Another team I took Forsling in the 4th round, which I love what he did last year. Obviously, I don't think he's going to be score as many points plus minus this year, but just felt like with the name and what he did last year. But you're kind of right. There's always a flux of like forwards and centers, always every year. You can always find someone on the wire in late in the draft. So I would say definitely in the first 4 rounds, like, you need to have a defenseman, because like you said, you get to a point where you're looking like there's no one left, or, you know, there's no one to really trust. So for some reason this year, I agree with you. It's like very after the top 10, 12, 15 guys is a steep, steep drop off.
Davey, I got to ask you, with the Pepsi Zero Sugar NHL Goalie Challenge kicking off, the puck drops this Tuesday with the first real slate of games of the season. Which way are you leaning? Personally, for me, I like the matchup for Utah against Chicago. First ever game as an organized franchise. And I like Connor Ingram if he starts as a sleeper in fantasy for the season as at large. But curious to hear what you like.
So I was looking at this morning and only have a couple games to choose from. I know every year there's the Stanley Cup hangover, but I really think tomorrow the Panthers are going to get it done against the Bruins. I'm not going to pick the Panthers to get the win, but I will think the Panthers goalie Will Bobrovsky more than likely will have the most saves of any goalie tomorrow because Boston, obviously the big rival, they play them well. They're going to be a lot of shots on goal. So I'm going to go with Florida tomorrow for most saves.
Is there any team or maybe teams, Davey, you got your eye on here as sleepers in the betting market or fantasy market? Because I'm thinking teams that nobody's given a shot to make the playoffs. The Calgary Flames jump out to me personally as a team that everybody's kind of writing off. And I don't expect them to have this massive season by any means, but they've still got a lot of veterans on that roster. I think there'll be a team that we can back maybe early in the season, get some value, because I don't think they're just going to roll over just because they have that kind of pride. Is there any of those teams you're looking at here early in the season?
Well, I wrote down two, and Calgary was number one on my list, actually, because I agree with you. No one's given them any sort of chance. I mean, why would you? Like, they didn't improve. They got rid of everyone. But as far as even relating to fantasy, I think Jonathan Huberdeau could be a guy, only 30% owned. You know, he had 52 points last year, but really he's due for a step. He's due to step up. You know, he's a guy that I would say there's nothing to lose really on drafting him later, picking him up late. Calgary, you know, the Pacific Division, I know that we've got the Oilers, Vegas, and Vancouver, but really Seattle, there's teams there. There's, you know, Calgary could be in the mix for like the eighth, the second wild card, and I wouldn't really be surprised. And then if we're going to the East, I don't have the numbers and stuff in front of me, but I think this is the year that Detroit makes it. I'm not ready to say Buffalo even before the two games I wasn't, but I feel like Detroit this year, they could sneak in there and maybe, you know, make some noise. So Detroit and Calgary would be my two teams, especially teams that a lot of people, you know, don't have their eye on to place a wager on. Calgary would be number one because, like you said, they got nothing. No one thinks they're going to be any good, but I think they could be in contention for a wild card spot there.
Detroit definitely has a loaded top six. Davey, as we say goodbye, give me your Stanley Cup pick, your finalists, and who's winning it. I know people always looking for who you're picking because you have a good track record.
Yeah, I did okay in the playoffs last year. Actually, I had a perfect bracket. I was 15-16 and a perfect bracket. And then I had in the final four, I had Dallas beating Edmonton. And then I had Florida over Edmonton, or over Dallas. So very close. This year, I'm going with the Dallas Stars to win. I think they're going to beat the Florida Panthers. I think Florida gets back there. I know 3 years in a row is tough. People don't really think that's going to happen, but I got the Stars to win. Jason Robertson is the Conn Smythe winner. And other note real quick, I jumped in here when you guys were talking about, you know, Nashville Devils, Jake Allen, and a lot of things Nashville can do. For Nashville, Gustav Forsling's 43% owned. We know he plays with O'Reilly, Forsberg. I know they got Marchessault and Stamkos, but the fact that he's only 43% owned, 75 points last year, like, this is the guy that you need to have. He's gonna have another great year, so he would be a guy that I would definitely get if you need an injury replacement or looking for someone to spark the offense there.
Nyquist was one of my favorite fantasy plays last year. He carried a couple of my teams, so I like that look, Davey, and tough to argue with the Stars as a cup pick. That team is as deep as any team in the National Hockey League. We really appreciate you jumping on with us today, bud. I hope you're as excited as us to get this thing going.
I'm always excited, and hopefully we'll be talking some more puck real soon, guys.
Great insight from Davey Satriano. Follow his good work at NHL.com. And I'm looking at for the Pepsi Zero Sugar NHL Goalie Challenge. Again, you pick a team that's going to get the potential win, team that's going to get the most saves, team that's going to get the fewest goals allowed, Jake. And again, whether you're going with the win for Utah against Chicago and Connor Bedard or the fewest goals allowed, I like their chances with Mikhail Sergachev in the lineup we expect on Tuesday night for the three-game slate. I feel like it's going to have a good ripple effect on Connor Ingram, so I'll be all over him.
And maybe even go sneaky fewest goals allowed for Utah there in that game. I wouldn't be shocked. Obviously, you know, Bedard scares us a little bit, but outside of that, you know, who's really scaring us in that Chicago offense, yep. PD? I feel like Boston and Florida are going to be a little bit more popular in that market. I actually don't mind the under 6.5 in that Utah-Chicago game. I dare those teams, especially Chicago with what I think could be a bit of a stale offense past Bedard to go and beat me and score seven goals. So I don't mind that as a bit of a lower scoring affair.
And just also looking at the Tuesday slate, like a sneaky play in the props market, Dylan Holloway had a nice preseason, playing in an elevated role compared to what he was playing in Edmonton. Remember, he had that three-point game in the Cup Final, untapped potential. I like him, and I like riding these preseason trends to an extent in the first couple of games of the season. That means you, Adam Boqvist, on power play one for the Florida Panthers, who also play on Tuesday against Boston.
Well, yeah, props can be so tricky early on because we don't have a file on these guys. You know, what have they been doing the last few games? What's the form coming in? So I do think you could look into preseason to an extent. Some guys feeling confident, maybe in a good spot in the lineup. I don't hate the Blues in that first game either, Petey. Money line on the road, getting a little plus money. I think that should be priced a little closer to a pick'em. I'm not a huge believer in this Kraken roster. I think the Blues are basically on par with them. So giving me some nice plus money with St. Louis there and possibly the better goaltender, assuming Binnington gets the call, I don't mind that to start off our North American NHL season.
I do not have the St. Louis Blues in the playoffs. I will say they have a chance to be a really good underdog on a nightly basis in some of these matchups that seem tilted at the surface or on paper, but St. Louis can score, right? They're going to have a lot of games this year with three or four goals, even in some defeats, I think, with guys like Buchnevich and point per game Robert Thomas. They still have Braden Schenn. They added Holloway and Broberg, and you know, they have, even with the injury to Torrey Krug, they have a lot of offensive firepower and different options, even on the blue line.
I wouldn't be shocked if a St. Louis or maybe even a Minnesota makes a bit of a push in that central division this year, Pete. Minnesota's a team that I just think no one's really talking about. They have a lot of talent. I think it could come together there, and I would not be shocked if they're in the mix at the end of the season. We talked Calgary with Davey Satriano as well, and he seems to agree with me that, again, I'm not picking them to make the playoffs by any means, but I think they're a team that we could back early in the season just at big prices, right? And get a little bit of value with them. And Wednesday's our first opportunity. They're in Vancouver to take on the Canucks, and they're both plus 165. I don't mind that play on Calgary to start the year.
I really like, for Minnesota, Brock Faber. I got him at 99 in mock draft 2.0. Again, you could find the results on nhl.com/fantasy. If you have your draft on Monday night or Tuesday night or later in the week, if you're behind the eight ball a little bit, but I think he's one of the great future workhorse defensemen, even last year, right? Second for the Calder. Yeah. This guy's no joke. I would get him in fantasy if you can as your second or third defenseman.
Okay. We heard Davey Stanley Cup picks. I mean, we can go through the whole board. I mean, we only have a limited amount of time here, Petey. We don't have to go through every little Gotsingul in detail. Stanley Cup picks. We're going to start with Jake for the season, and then we'll put a bow on it. Jacob?
Colorado Avalanche are your Stanley Cup champions this year, guys. I'm projecting a little bit here. I know there's some question marks about depth coming into the season. Davey made the case for the Dallas Stars, who, you know, are kind of the opposite of Colorado in a way, right? They're a little bit deeper. They like to spread things out. Colorado relies a lot on those top guys, but I'm assuming they get Val Nichushkin back. We're looking at about mid-November. I don't know what's happening with Gabe Landeskog, but they're used to him not being there. I think they're deeper now, better down the middle with Casey Mittelstadt. I think this is the year we see that elite top end talent back at the top of the podium when it comes to the NHL. PD, who are you feeling for the cup this year?
Oh, it would be absolutely huge if they got Landeskog and or Nichushkin back for that deep postseason run that we all know Colorado's capable of. I love the moves that Edmonton made in the offseason. They're only a goal away or whatever it was in game seven after that furious comeback. They got Jeff Skinner. I know they have Savoy in the AHL right now, but, you know, I would expect him to be up with the big team at some point. Victor Arvidsson, they got Pod Colson for if they need him to elevate him in any given game. The Edmonton Oilers, I think, will win the Stanley Cup, and I think it'll be a really intriguing matchup between them and the New York Rangers in the final. Expect the Rangers, different from last year, to make a big splash at the trade deadline to improve their roster, and I think they get over the hump and into the Cup final this year.
Well, I'll take the Boston Bruins then to lose to the Colorado Avalanche. That'll be my losing team, PD. It's often an Atlantic Division team that comes through to the Cup Final out of the East. So it'll be Boston this year, but unfortunately they fall short to the Colorado Avalanche.
I'm glad I picked Boston to make the playoffs when we submitted our picks before the Swayman signing. I had to leave Tampa Bay out. I know I always knock Tampa Bay. They always seem to get in, but that's my team on the outs this season in the Atlantic. Very tough division.
All right, Petey, this was great. Thanks a lot to Davey Satriano for stopping by. We'll eventually get Nick Alberga back on this podcast, hopefully. We're hoping sooner rather than later. But hey, if not, always great breaking it down with you here, Pete. Another episode coming up on Thursday. We appreciate all our listeners tuning in throughout the course of preseason. It was a lot of fun doing these preview shows. And now it's time for the best part. We can actually get going on the regular season in the NHL. So send in those questions. We'll get to them on the show on Thursday. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.